I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday.
In the wine cellar.
Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
In July 2015, you wrote a letter stating, and I quote, "I vehemently urge House Republican leadership to use every available tool to strip Planned Parenthood of any and all taxpayer funds and take measures to prevent the group from receiving taxpayer dollars in the future," end quote. Some 2.5 million Americans, many of them low-income women, now get their health care through Planned Parenthood. At a time when we have 28 million people who have no health insurance today, despite the gains of the Affordable Care Act, you really believe that we should tell 2.5 million Americans, many of them low-income women, who get high-quality care at Planned Parenthood, that they should no longer have access to Planned Parenthood? I hear a lot of talk in this body from my Republican friends about choice. We want to give people choice. 2.5 million Americans, many low-income women, choose Planned Parenthood as their choice for health care. Why would you deny them that choice?
Senator, I don't have the letter in front of me, but I do remember the debate, and I also remember what I voted for, and it may have been addressed in the letter. The proposal that the House put forward in July of 2015 would have moved the money from Planned Parenthood to the federally qualified health care clinics, which are more prevalent, more available, and actually serve more needy women than
Congressman. I know a lot about the community health centers. I'm one of the leading advocates for them here and help increase funding for them. But 2.5 million people, mostly women, have chosen Planned Parenthood. And after all the talk about choice and we want a health care system which allows people to go any place they want, your recommendation is that we should deny 2.5 million women their choice of health care. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Christians out of the military. And we played the soundbite yesterday from Robert Oscar Lopez saying, look, what the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has done is it's opened the door for these hyper-masculine homosexuals to come into the military, very similar to the kind of masculine ideal of the warrior in Greek culture, and they were homosexuals. Those that were the masculine ideal in Greek was the Greek warrior. He was a homosexual. They would often have young boys as their homosexual lovers, and you would have these homosexual couples that would fight together, the 300 at Sparta. That movie was made about them. They were 150 pairs of homosexual lovers. So there's a military tradition that's connected to homosexuality, and it's also connected to fascism.
Father Teresa is drunk.
All right. WineCellarMedia.com, the Black Podcast. There is no Facebook Live to this month. This is actually clipped together, which there will be more of that, of the clipping together episodes, because the really the working, working a day job, along with the pace of this Donald Trump thing, that's a big factor, is the pace. Like, this Donald Trump business is moving fucking fast, and you gotta comb through these goddamn stories. You gotta comb through these stories, through these audio clips, it's Friday right now, so, Meet the Press is fucking tomorrow. You just don't know what the hell's going on. Then you gotta look at other folks' commentary on it. I'm still looking at, you know, what these general rank and file liberal Democrats are talking about, seeing what my folks in the legitimate left are talking about. Who's that motherfucker? Richard Sphincter. He keeps getting punched in the fucking face. That just keeps happening, which is fine. That's good. And I like that folks are, apparently, I don't know who's doing it, but they're doing a good job. He's being tracked. And the addresses and cities, like wherever he is, keeps getting posted, you know, so that's a good deal. One thing I want to do is, I want to sit down with Phoenix Kalita and go over, Richard Sphincter's, interview with the David Pakman program. David Pakman handled it, fairly well. I mean, and I saw that coming, like I think you saw, like, Nicole Sandler was beefing with him on the Twitter about it. You know, but it's like, nah, David Pakman's good. Because David Pakman always interviews the opposition. He's been doing that. Like, that Brian Fisher clip you heard before the piano dropped. Like, Brian Fisher used to be a regular on Pakman's show. You know, back in, like, 2011, 2012, Brian Fisher was always on there. You know, like, David Pakman had that black conservative on there. I wish I could find that episode. I cannot remember that dude's name worth a fuck, man. But he kept calling David a sissy man, and it was funny as shit. It was the goofiest fucking thing. Alright, what else did I recently see? I recently saw this Ashley Judd thing. Well, I didn't watch the video yet, because I was like, I gotta get myself ready for this. Because the title of the video was Ashley Judd's Epic Rap. And I was like, I have my doubts. And then some folks in the Facebooks were like, nah, whoever titled that video, they... that was a clickbaity title. It was, I guess it was like she was doing a poem that someone else wrote. Now, which me, in general, I'm not impressed with poetry in and of itself. Like, I mean, write a fucking essay. Write an article. Write a column. You know, like, a poem. Like, just when I learned that poems don't even have to rhyme, that's not fucking impressive. So anybody can fucking stand up on a stage and say, the starlight, twilight, farm animals singing. The river goes down, down to my soul. And you are my earthquake. Like, you don't have to say shit for fucking poetry in and of itself. Like, there's absolutely nothing impressive about that shit at all. I think people only pretend to be impressed by it to seem cultured. Like, I'm deep. I'm into this poetry. That shit ain't shit. Alright, so yeah, like, this is gonna be stuff that's clipped together. This is gonna be a short, clip program. I might do a little bit of commentary. But for the most part, it's Friday, January 27th, as I'm recording this. And this will become, like, most likely for the rest of this year, that'll be the broadcasting schedule. As far as, like, those Facebook Live videos and being live on Blog Talk Radio, it'll be like that. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That'll be the live broadcasting schedule. The rest of the week, I'll just be clipping stuff together. This weekend, I'll be doing short clippings of stuff together because it's the 27th. So I need to start packaging up Phoenix Kalita's Uppity Bubbles bars of soap. So that folks, if folks want them, we'll ship them out to them from the post office right across the street from where we are. And I've got to start gathering folks, and getting this allied left together so that we can, start our, pads and pawns drive to get, like, women's, like, menstrual tools, you know? So we got to get that whole thing up and running. All right, so let's get into a short little bit of clip show Wine Cellar.
This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Friday, January 27th, 2017.
Right now, he is making another drink, and he's calling me a man.
First up, big gay news from Colorado. Colorado man brutally attacked 50 miles from where Matthew Shepard was murdered. Noon on X reports that a gay man was brutally attacked early Saturday morning in Colorado by a man reportedly interested in the victim's female friend. Stephen Anthony Loranger suffered a broken nose, broken orbital socket, various cuts and bruises, and damage to his abdominal wall after he was attacked and beaten by a man reported to be an ex-Marine who allegedly was interested in a woman who was friends with Loranger. The man who attacked the 33-year-old could potentially be charged with a federal hate crime under the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Next up, Toledo eyes ban on gender conversion therapy. The Toledo Blade reports that the Toledo City Council plans to vote on a law prohibiting the controversial therapy designed to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. Council President Stephen Steele sponsored the change to the current ordinance, which would make it a fourth-degree misdemeanor to provide the controversial therapy and would apply to anyone, regardless of age, instead of just minors, such as in other cities. The change would also make gender identity a protected class in the city and spell out clearly that discrimination against transgender people is prohibited. Next up, Arkansas official tweets, "Gay jokes are back on, you bunch of homos." GayStar News reports that Arkansas State employee Hunter Hatcher took to social media on the day of Donald Trump's inauguration with an anti-gay tweet. Hatcher, who worked as an outreach coordinator in the office of Arkansas Treasurer Dennis Milligan, found himself out of a job after his employer was made aware of the tweet, which read, "Y'all in Trump's America now, time to flick that chip off your shoulder and quit being so offended. Gay jokes are back on, you bunch of homos." In a statement, Milligan wrote that the comments made by a member of my staff were insulting, unprofessional, unbecoming of a state employee, and have no place in public office. Everybody has a right to free speech, but you have to balance that also with what you're saying and who you are as a professional. Hatcher, a member of the Arkansas National Guard, apologized for his remarks in his resignation email. For our final story, nearly every resident of a Polish village voted for a gay man as mayor. Pink News reports that a village in Poland has elected an openly gay man to serve as mayor. Lukasz Wlardzik, who married his partner in Scotland because same-sex marriage is not recognized in Poland, was elected to serve as mayor of Bobrowniki by a landslide 700 votes out of 800 residents, with only one vote being cast for his opponent. Although Poland is considered to be one of the least GLBT-friendly countries in Europe, he said that all the locals in his village know that he is married to a man and yet still did not hesitate to vote for him. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit, because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
All right. So, clipping this together on the fly, right? Getting it up and running here. And so this feller, yeah, he goes by the name of Josh Bernstein. And he was recently a guest on a program called The Dove TV. And, well, Josh had some opinions about that there. That their Huomans march, them their Huomans marching, and he's gonna break it down. He's very, very, very philosophical. Okay, let me get into it.
What was your take on the Women's March in Washington? Of course, they were all over the country. We had two fairly good sized women's marches here in Oregon, one in the southern part, one in the northern part. What's your take on that?
My take is very simple. This was nothing and had absolutely nothing to do with women's rights.
Bam. All right. Absolutely nothing. All right. That no. They were marching because they want larger size cans of Chef Boyardee's ravioli. All right. Shit is fucked up out there, yo. The ravioli game is in a slump. Shit's not popping, yo. Folks ain't eating, B. You seem paid in full. They ain't eating.
It had everything to do with bashing President Donald Trump.
All right, bashing. Bashing. Fucking him up. It's not fair. Look at recent pictures of Donald Trump. You see that fucking hair? Bashed. That's not bronzer and fake tan shit on his face. Like, his shit, that's just one big fucking pulsating vein. Because he's been bashed.
These women should be ashamed of themselves, especially Madonna.
Who recently, Alex Jones is, essentially put as a fucking hit out on her ass.
And what she said, she should be arrested, she should be thrown in prison, looking at life in prison, because what she is guilty of is, Code Title 18, Section 871, threatening the life of a president, whether it was tongue-in-cheek or not. And then Ashley Judd reading that horrific, disgusting poem. Look, I've been renaming it the Million Skank March.
All right. He's been renaming it the Million Skank March. Because, you know, fuck creativity. Like, that's your lazy misogyny, but that's the thing about oppression, right? Like, after the oppression is so well set in place for who knows how many fuck stack centuries, you know, like, longer than fucking, what our history, what the fuck I know, at least, that you don't have to try anymore. He didn't try to make it rhyme. He didn't try to make it flow smoothly. Million Skank March. Like, you sound more like a dork. Like, you're corny.
For a reason. Because these women were absolutely horrendous, dressing up, you know, in women's private parts, costumes, and...
Ah, women's private parts costumes, because you know how that was rampant. Now, maybe he's talking about the hats, which had cat ears, if I understand right, cat ears. Maybe someone's had a vagina costume, that wouldn't surprise me. Like, hell, I think I have a picture somewhere in my meme collection of somebody with a vagina costume on. You know, fucking, so the fuck what? Was that everybody? Was that even enough to be a full percent? Even a full actual 1% out of 100%, is there evidence of that many people wearing vagina costumes, if that's what he is talking about?
Running around me, what did they think that they were going to accomplish by doing any of these things?
Well, for one, there's automatically the fellowship. And then I know there's a lot of folks out there that are like, this is what's going to happen. You're going to end up going the way you occupy and all that. And all these folks meeting together, that's a good way to start forming some groups. And start forming some alliances and ways for folks to come together. Like, there's already people out there sharing, IUDs? Like, folks are getting those up and running, like, sharing those around. So, like, actually, yeah, shit can get accomplished, dear friend.
You know, there was a really great ad that has just recently come out. The Washington Free Beacon put it out, and it was kind of a knock against Hillary Clinton's ad, where she had Donald Trump talking about different things that he said, and then it says, the children are watching. Well, you know what? The children were obviously watching.
That, what the fuck is he on right now? All right, apparently he's about to point to something at that there Huomen's Million Skank March that is equivalent to things that Donald Trump said, kind of like Bernie Sanders, how he is just as bad as Trump. That, my bad, Rashani, that quote is in my head forever.
The Million Woman March, and I don't think that they were too pleased with what they had to see. I've talked to lots of women on both sides of the aisle, and they are disgusted with the behavior of these Hollywood elite idiots.
The fuck is he? He is legitimately not talking about anything. I really don't want him in the bald-headed guys club anymore. He should let the receded part grow out and not get out of the bald club. You're not one of us.
Speaking of children, in Oregon, and I would assume that at the National Mall, a lot of these women brought their children to that march.
Oh, terrible! You don't bring your children to fucking to show them how this one portion of the First Amendment works? Ah, nightmare! Why do that? Why do that? And I have my arguments against that. America is a corporatocracy, a corporate state, right? Being an American is a job in and of itself. But if we're gonna have these things like a constitution and whatnot, stand up, flex. Like these people who want to swear on it. I will hold them up to it until motherfuckers admit that it's not a national community.
I mean, I'm stunned.
You know what? I'm not stunned because this is what feminism and the feminazi movement.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyone who says feminazi unironically, it just is face punchable. All right. Josh Bernstein is face punchable like a motherfucker. Like that. That's so corny.
Has devolved into in the year 2017. You know,
really in 2017. Now I get like there's critiques of white feminism as a practice. Right. And I think that's very important to point out, like white feminism is a practice, like the racism of it, the classism of it. Right. I keep pointing out the same few folks because they have the biggest names in the fake left. But like Joy Ann Reed, Imani Gandhi and whatnot, like they are black people that practice white feminism. The folks over there at the blog page, Sons of Baldwin, like of James Baldwin, that page, those are
cis black men that practice white feminism. They practice classist white feminism to the core. All right.
A real feminist is someone like an...
Oh my God, Josh Bernstein's about to tell you about a real feminist. Let me give that a running start. Here we go. Okay, Josh Bernstein, I'm running it back about 10 seconds to give it a running start. Josh is going to tell you what a real feminist is.
You know what? I'm not stunned, because this is what feminism and the feminazi movement has devolved into in the year 2017. You know, a real feminist is someone like an Ivanka Trump, a family woman, a businesswoman, a Jack...
Wait. I wasn't ready. That's not fair. He snuck that in on me.
Year 2017. You know, a real feminist is someone like an Ivanka Trump, a family woman, a businesswoman, a jack of all trades, a Renaissance woman, beautiful, bright, articulate. That should be the type of woman that women should look up to. Not-
Holy shit. And inadvertently, like, you know, I want to say that he inadvertently described white feminism. I don't want to jump to that conclusion too fast. I want to go over the archive of this episode after it's recorded, listen to it a few more times.
Not these old, you know, post-menopausal skanks from Hollywood.
Jesus Christ, really? What the fuck is he so mad at? God damn, yo, you know that this guy jerks off with jalapeno seeds and mayonnaise. You know that. That's why he just, so he makes sure that he's always mad when he thinks about women.
Menopausal skanks from Hollywood that are really just deplorable and disgusting in every fashion.
Jesus fuck, this dude is all fucked up. Increase the doses, bustin' whoever closest, thug living, hella prison, never losing my focus. I'm making money moves mandatory. In the discussion, my past records tell a story. Pitching niggas with rushing and steel busting till the cops come running, ducking abandoned buildings, ditching my gun.
This show is fucked up.
Actor Jack Nicholson says he finally understood the meaning of the word irony when his mother called him a son of a bitch. So let us consider Donnie Trump, who campaigned as the populist champion of the working class, promising that by gollies he was going to take on Wall Street and the corporate elites. But the bitter irony for the working class is that they now see what the SOB meant. He's literally taking on the moneyed powers by taking them on board his administration. For example, he's brought in Wall Street billionaires to fill the three top economic policy positions in his cabinet. Then there's Betsy DeVos, the billionaire heiress to the scandal-plagued Amway fortune. Her life's work has been trying to defund and privatize the public schools that working-class people count on and to eliminate the working-class jobs of teachers and support staff. Her new job with Trump? Secretary of Education, where she'll now use our public money to try killing off our public education system. And here comes Myron Ebell, a honcho of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a corporate front group funded by fossil fuel profiteers like Exxon and the Koch brothers, where he pushed relentlessly to gut the Environmental Protection Agency. Where's he now? Heading Trump's EPA transition team. Also, more than half of the Donald's Department of Defense transition team have been executives or lobbyists for such military contractors as Boeing. Overall, according to watchdog group Public Citizen, 3/4 of Trump's transition teams, which are organizing, staffing, and shaping our new government, come from corporate world. Not a single working-class populist has been allowed a seat at his power table. This is Jim Hightower saying, as America's working stiffs know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Trump is no populist. He's a full-tilt corporatist.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All right. Now let's go over to Sandy Rios. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while, hasn't it? Ever since we've been able to dig into some Sandy Rios. This is great. This Woman's March has brought out some outstanding content. Let's get into it.
You get it. You get the point. That's Ashley Judd, the once beautiful, ladylike,
Once beautiful, ladylike, no longer. She lost her spark.
Absolutely stunningly gorgeous actress. And this is where we've come. This is...
All right, that homophobe is starting to sound a little lesbianotic.
And this is where we've come. Beautiful, ladylike, absolutely stunningly gorgeous, absolutely stunningly gorgeous, absolutely stunningly gorgeous, absolutely stunningly gorgeous actress. And this is where we've come. This is where we have fallen. You know, there's a picture. I actually tweeted it, but I don't think it's on our Facebook page. We should put it on there. It's the aftermath of the parade, of the Women's March.
I gotta see this. I need to find their Facebook page. So they have their idea of the aftermath of the Women's March.
And they just left their trash everywhere.
Really? So you mean to tell me that in a consumerist culture that creates garbage after millions of humans were out and about at the same time, garbage was left behind? You mean to tell me that there weren't enough receptacles? Get the fuck out of here!
And it's just amazing. All of it's just totally trashed. And I think to myself, this is they're worried about rights. What rights are they worried about? What?
Abortion? That's one. That's only one, though. That's one, lady.
Can they not do? I guess it's their right not to clean. I find that many
Oh, shit. Their right not... Right not okay, to let's give that a running start.
I guess it's their right not to clean. I find that many feminists are too good to clean their houses, and maybe...
How does she know this? How is she going door to door, knocking people's door, knock, knock? Who's there? Are you a fucking feminist? Nah. Okay, next house. Knock, knock. Who the fuck is there? Are you a feminist? I sure is, babe. Let me take a look around. Well, sure. I'm gonna open my door for a complete fucking stranger to walk in my fucking house and look around. Holy shit, it's not very clean in here. As a feminist, do you think you're too good to clean? Yes. Did she go door to door across the motherfuck planet conducting this study? Did she? One country? One continent? State? Municipality? A commonwealth? Did she go through a commonwealth? A county? A city? A neighborhood? Subdivision? One street? Did she do this at one house? She just that's what these people do. They just make this shit up. That's what partisan people do. They just make shit smooth the fuck up. Democrats, a little more facts, but they make shit up too. Don't fuck around with me.
I find that many feminists are too good to clean their houses, and maybe that's the way they live. They live in filth. I just don't understand this. And why people would take their children to a vulgar display like that with the signs, the hats that they wore. I'm going to open the phone lines because I bet...
They're really bugging. Well, pretending this faux outrage about these cat hats, and I still haven't. I read the post that B Word Media put up about the cat hats. I just downloaded the latest episode of their podcast, Popaganda, and I'm gonna check that out and see what they're talking about with the cat hats. They appear to be displeased with them, but like. From more of a leftist perspective.
The signs, the hats that they wore. I'm going to open the phone lines because I bet you have a few things to say, too. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. More about the Women's March when we return. This is Sandy Rios.
Fuck it, Sandy Rios. Outstanding every time. Sandy Rios never, never fucking fails. Let's see if we can get one or two more things in and tie this off. Short, quick, fast wine cellar, right?
We'll see if we can get that pipeline built.
It begins. Trump relaunches controversial Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines. Team Trump imposes gag orders and lockdowns on science-based federal agencies. Plus...
Do you agree that the United States is indispensable and must maintain its leadership in the Paris Agreement in order to ensure that countries abide by their climate obligations.
New U.S. ambassador to United Nations won't commit to supporting United Nations Paris Agreement.
All of that lack of commitment and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I am, to a large extent, an environmentalist. I believe in it. But it's out of control.
Totally out of control. Environmentalists control everything in this country. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, first Green News Report of the Trump era, and it comes after a weekend when some 20 Americans were killed in extreme weather in Georgia, in Mississippi over the weekend. And once again, I'm just thinking to myself, well, good thing those people weren't killed by terrorism, or we'd have to do something about it.
Yes, yeah, sadly, that sounds exactly true. Well, now the science community is holding its collective breath, making copies of databases and preparing to march and take other actions in response to the new presidential administration's expected war on science. Immediately after Donald Trump's swearing in last week, the Trump administration began targeting federal government agencies that oversee environment and climate issues by silencing communications from the Environmental Protection Agency, the Departments of Interior, Health and Human Services, Transportation, and Agriculture. The Trump administration deleted the Obama White House webpages on climate change and renewable energy and replaced them with a statement they call the America First Energy Plan, focused on expanding fossil fuel extraction and repealing regulations. Then the Trump administration retaliated against the National Park Service.
Because of course they did.
Yes, for tweeting photos showing inauguration crowd sizes on the National Mall, which is in its jurisdiction, and temporarily shut down all of the Interior Department's Twitter accounts department-wide, including emergency alerts on weather conditions. Then the EPA was locked down. That's according to an internal EPA employee email obtained by Huffington Post. It imposed a gag order on all outside EPA communications with the public and the press. All of EPA's grants and contracts that serve core agency functions have also been frozen. Things like toxic cleanups and water system repairs. Then on Wednesday, the Trump team announced that all new studies and data from EPA scientists must be approved by political appointees before release, restrictions that former EPA staffers say far exceed the approaches of past administrations.
And that's saying something, because during the George W. Bush administration, there were whistleblowers who stepped forward talking about how the administration would not release scientific reports until they had basically gutted all the science out from them.
Exactly. Climate change info on the EPA's website is still accessible for now. The Trump team backtracked on a reported plan to delete the information after a public outcry, but will review and freshen up that existing data. Some of that data is required to remain public by law.
Actually, I think the word they used was scrubbing up.
Even worse.
Yeah, indeed.
U.S. scientists are feverishly downloading EPA databases to outside servers before any further scrubbing can be made, and have announced a scientists' march on Washington later this spring, similar to the women's march over inauguration weekend. Spontaneous emergency protests broke out outside the White House and in major cities across the country after Mr. Trump on Tuesday signed two presidential memoranda clearing the way forward for two hugely controversial pipelines. The Keystone XL pipeline across the Canadian border that was rejected by President Obama last year because of its climate impacts, and the Dakota Access pipeline that threatens the drinking water of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. Both the Standing Rock Sioux and Nebraska landowners along the Keystone XL pipeline route have vowed to fight each pipeline in court.
I know there are a lot of folks who are still going to fight this, both in South Dakota for Dakota Access, and, you know, all of these farmers in Nebraska who are none too happy about having their land bisected by this huge, dirty pipeline.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate confirmed South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, even though in her confirmation hearings she would not commit to supporting the United Nations Climate Accord because of her belief that the impact on U.S. industry profits should be balanced against the threat to human civilization.
And Democrats supported her anyway?
Yes, they did.
Way to go, Democrats.
Finally, as U.S. climate leadership internationally falters, China is taking the lead. At the recent International World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, the president of China announced billions in new investments in renewable energy and urged other developed countries to act swiftly on climate change.
Making China great again. Way to go, Mr. Trump. For more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Trump-era inaugural Green News Report.
All right. So some folks know that if you've been sticking with the wine cellar, like, essentially since, some of you folks came around 2014, some folks have been around since late 2012 and never left, you know, that I stopped playing the Green News Report for a while because, like many other outlets, it just became the, you know, the Hillary surrogate program, and so I just stopped playing them. But now that that is finally over for so many of these programs, I can start bringing in those clips again. So yeah, Green News Report would now be a regular thing again. They do the Green News Report Tuesday and Thursday, and which I might get them that day or the next day. All right, so cooning. Holy shit. We just played this Jesse Lee Peterson motherfucker on a recent episode, and I have to go right the fuck back to him. He's on the Steve Malzberg show again. I think last time I just called him the host. And we're going to do this, and this is going to be, and we're almost done with this episode, all right? We're going to fucking do this, man. Let's go. And again, folks, there's no Facebook Live to this one. This is just straight podcast. All right, here we go. Steve Malzberg, Jesse Lee Peterson. 2 minutes and 37 seconds that leads up to quite the punchline.
In the same piece that you wrote about how Barack Obama could have been great as a president, but I hear you talking about the relationship with Donald Trump and his parents and how important that is for anybody. And of course, that's something Barack Obama did not have.
And because, as I write about, he didn't have a relationship with his father. His father wasn't there, so he could look at his father, identify with him, and see the right way to go. So Barack Obama still has a void within him. He doesn't have love. He only has that anger that was passed down to him by his mother, and his father was an angry man, too.
All right, so apparently Barry Hussein, I don't know if you noticed that in Barry's demeanor, way he carries himself, his general tonal inflection. That he's got a lot of anger that was passed down to him from his mother.
But his mother hated her own color. She hated whiteness.
Ah, see, now that is a fact-based fact. Barry Hussein's mother hated her own color. She hated hotness, which is, I mean, none of this skin color shit actually matches. The people we call black are not actually black. The people we call white are not white. The people we call red are not red. Yellow are not yellow. Brown, yeah, that's actually the only one that's accurate, and a lot of us are brown, but fucking, these are all just categorizations, and whiteness is a categorization, but also a political affiliation, right? Like, whiteness, that's a choice to identify as. Nigga, if you French, say you French, nigga. Why you gotta say you white? Because you know you're a part of something bigger than yourself that is a safe space.
And so she turned Barack Obama against America and against white people. Barack Obama is angry, so as a result, he dealt with America in an evil way.
Uh-huh. So Barry's mother hated whiteness, hated herself, and used her son as a tool against whiteness and America, and he engaged in America in an evil way. This is what's going on.
Not a way of love, but a way of hatred. He did that for 8 years. And one quick point, Steve, I want to bring out to you. I was thinking last night.
Oh, man. All right. Now, Jesse Lee Peterson was thinking. That is a fact-based fact. All right. That is reality rooted in scripture. Okay, here we go.
Donald Trump is going to go into the urban areas, to Chicago, and even if he has to bring the feds in to do it, he's going to clean out the drugs and the crime and the thugs so that the good folks can finally start growing and living. I noticed that over the last 60 years, not one black man or woman, but especially a black man, has been able to do that.
All right, not one black man or one black woman ever went into the black neighborhood and tried to do a dat-gum thing. You understand that, right? None. Ever. I'm not going to list any fucking names. Just know that Jesse Lee Peterson is a black man telling a white, predominantly white audience what they want to hear, and he knows it. He knows it, and these people are walking away with these words. And, you know, and there's young folks, right? Like the Tomi Lahren crowd, right? Young folks are hearing this, and they're like, that's probably true. That's true. None of them do that.
From the last 50 years or so, maybe 60, the NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright Jr., the black politicians, the civil rights leaders, even Barack Obama, who had the power of the United States of America behind him, could have gone in with the National Guard, with the police department, and cleaned out that mess so the good people can live, but he did not do it.
Yep,
it takes a white man to do it, Steve. Donald Trump would do this, so I'm wondering, what is wrong with black men that they are not able to go in and clean up their own neighborhoods?
All right, he's thinking, what is wrong with black men? And he's black, right? So including yourself, what is wrong with you, Jesse Lee Peterson?
Put their own families back together. It takes a white man to do it, and it's the white man that they hate. They hate this white man, and he's the one that's going to save them. Remind me of Jesus Christ.
All right, reminds me of Jesus Christ. That's not the punchline, though. Bring it in. Remember, he says this unironically. No laugh track for this. Bring it in, Jesse Lee Peterson. Let's go.
He came and made it possible for us to return to the Father, and he was hated for doing that as well, and they took him out.
You know,
Donald Trump is the white savior.
Woo! And there you have it. And that went out to who motherfuck knows how many motherfuck people heard a black man say Donald Trump is the white savior, and because they're in an echo chamber of these ideas, they're stepping out the house thinking that, and they're gonna see a black person and think, you're welcome, we gave you your savior. Dark child, yeah. Cause the sex is good, you had my mind, and I let you come back every time. You violated and crossed the line, and you knew that I would be the type to always wait so patiently, thinking you was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys or felt your taps in all your sleep. Cause the sex is good, you had my mind, and I let you come back every time. You violate and cross the line, and you knew that I would be the type to always wait so patiently, thinking you was coming home to me. Well, damn, I never heard the keys or felt your taps in all your sleep. Don't leave the house no more, be so dumb. The things you gon' marry me, I got to be out my mind. I think I need someone to carry me.
This show is so reverse racist.
Sheroes and heroes are people who take risks, who make great personal sacrifices to perform difficult and important duties for others. By that standard, John Lewis and the 600 who walked that bridge in Selma, Alabama 52 years ago are indeed heroes whose actions helped pass the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965. Let's all agree on that. But how long should that hero pass last? How many years, how many decades do you get to boast and toast and roast and coast before you need to do something else, even mildly heroic, to keep your status current? It's not like John Lewis has lacked new chances to serve the people this last half century. he's represented a Metro Atlanta district in Congress the past 28 years. Ruled by black mayors and the black political class since 1973, Atlanta has billed itself as Black Mecca, though for more than half of black Atlanta, there's been little to celebrate. Black mayors have relentlessly gentrified the city, starting with the Carter Presidential Library in the 80s, the Olympics in the 90s, and after that, the demolition of public housing, the privatization of the land underneath it, and the Beltline Project, which currently steals $150 million annually from Atlanta's mostly black public schools to build yuppie housing and shopping destinations. Marquee development projects have driven a six-figure number of poorer black residents from the city. John Lewis never says a mumbling word about any of this. John Lewis never publicly contradicts the black Atlanta mayors who crack down on the homeless, who line up for the privatization of public transit and public schools. Perhaps being a legendary civil rights hero puts him above all that. Supporting Hillary Clinton this year, John Lewis spoke out against free college tuition, which many countries grant their young people, explaining that free stuff was just not the American way. John Lewis was also an early member of the Democratic Leadership Council, which irretrievably locked that party into subservience to its one percenter donors. Sometimes members of Congress can undo historic wrongs. John Lewis blew one such chance when he doubled down on the expulsion of the descendants of black freedmen from the Cherokee Nation, in which they had once enjoyed voting rights. John Lewis calls himself a pacifist, and he never misses a chance to lecture on the supreme utility of nonviolence. But the U.S. Navy is building a ship with his name on it, a fleet replenishment oiler, to resupply warships on deployment. Isn't this an honor a pacifist ought to reject? And shouldn't our apostle of nonviolence vote against every arms giveaway, sale, and Pentagon budget? John Lewis doesn't. Like most other members of the Black Caucus, Lewis votes to fund mass surveillance and to rearm the apartheid state of Israel with depressing regularity. It's time to ask whether civil rights hero status from 52 years ago is really enough to cancel out or to ignore all this, and what purpose John's hero status serves today. John Lewis is in the news right now because he called Big Cheeto's presidency not legitimate. But why? Is it because John Lewis fears that Trump will pursue more than six bloody wars, that he will deport millions of innocents, that he will jail children and expand mass surveillance and militarized policing? Is it because John Lewis knows that the Donald will help greedy bankers stay out of jail and that he'll enable hedge fund parasites to gentrify, plunder, and privatize public education, nature, and the commons? Probably not. Because all these are Obama policies, which Trump is expected to double down on. John Lewis's problem with Trump is that the CIA and the FBI, which helped assassinate King and cover it up, now says that Russia helped elect Trump, and Lewis believes it. Big Cheeto did a Twitter fight with Lewis the other day, and some of his followers called Lewis the N-word. So now the Obama-Hillary liberals are flogging John Lewis's tattered sainthood as hard as they can to have a not-my-president message that does not bring into question the many matters upon which Republicans and the Obama-Hillary liberals agree. The old civil rights hero does not oppose Trump for any reason which might lead to questioning past, present, or future Democrats. John Lewis is warming up the crowd for Obama's exit and for the entrance of whoever the Democrats will run next. This is what happens when there's no time limit on those legendary civil rights hero credentials. It's time to revoke them. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web at www.blackagendareport.com or follow us on Twitter at BLK Agenda Report. That's BLK Agenda Report. Thanks for listening.
them niggas are always so much more eloquent than I am. Yeah, so there's your John Lewis, and that's your wine cellar. All right, patreon.com/winecellarmediafund, paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. All right, the next goal forward is to upgrade the website so that we have unlimited video space. It's $288. I don't know what that is with tax, which is why we just need an over $300 month. Oh, excuse me. So that we can go ahead and gosh darn do that. Right now, the Patreon subscribers look like they're at about 238, but like for some folks, like the debit card or the bank account or PayPal account might have insufficient funds at that point in the month, so it won't go through. So the Patreon is actually only like $160 a month. And so it knocks out the wine cellar bills, you know, and then like there's some that can be put away, but it'll take at least like till mid-year to just do it off of that. We want those videos soon. Have a good one.